the cinema judge!
Hello and welcome back to the Cinema Judge. To all my regulars out there, welcome back. Now, if you're new to the show, let me briefly tell you what we do here at the Cinema Judge. The studios, they send us interviews, clips, on-set footage, and red carpet interviews. What we do is we put it together to make one giant infomercial. And then we present it to you, me being the judge, and you being a jury, you make up your own mind. We're not going to sit here and tell you to don't see this movie, don't do this because this actor. That's not what we do here at the Cinema Judge. We love movies and we like sharing movies with you. Here's the evidence. We all come from different paths. Who am I to tell you what to think? This is like a movie oasis. There's so much noise out there right now and we have a lot of stresses. We all have stuff going on. This is a place where you can learn about one movie because we all want to spend our hard-earned money wisely. Because we all want the same thing. An enjoyable movie experience. Now, approaching the bench today, we have the follow-up to Shazam. This is Shazam, Fury of the Gods. And it stars Zachary Levi, who's reprising his role as the main character, Shazam. And new to the cast, the one, the only, the incredible Helen Mirren. I mean, if Helen Mirren's in the movie, I'm going to see it. She holds the screen. I think hands down, almost everybody in the world likes Helen Mirren. There's nothing she can't do. I mean, she's just perfect for whatever she's in. And you'll hear the interview later on. She has a great sense of humor and what a great addition. But not just her. This movie also stars Lucy Liu and Rachel Zegler. They play sisters. And without giving too much away of the story, in a nutshell, here it is. Those three sisters were like the original people with all these powers. Unbeknownst to our heroes, Shazam and company, powers that they got from the people that gave it to them, well, they stole it from these sisters, and all these sisters just want it all back. So in a sense, they're not evil, bad people in this movie, and you'll hear that later on with interviews, but I just want to give you a heads up. So here's the trailer for Shazam, Fury of the Gods.
I'm an idiot.
It's showtime!
I don't deserve these powers, if I'm being honest. Like, what am I even contributing?
Ow!
There's already a superhero with a red suit with a lightning bolt on it. Aquaman is literally huge and he's so manly. And Batman is so cool. And I'm just me. I feel like a fraud. It doesn't matter. Anyway, a wizard gave me superpowers. Yeah! And then everybody got superpowers.
Where's everyone going?
To fight crime?
Okay.
Now everyone's kind of like doing their own thing, and I'm the only one trying to keep it together.
You understand I'm a pediatrician, right?
Come on!
Now let's get down to business.
Listen to me, Billy. The fate of your world depends on it. The daughters of Atlas are coming for you.
Children stole the power of all the gods. This is very personal, Billy.
Look, I might not have as much experience as you because I'm not super old like you, but I've seen all of the Fast and the Furious movies, lady. It's all about
family! Guys, that was a signal.
Introducing the star of our show. His name is
Shazam.
Now let's get down to business.
Your world will not survive this.
I don't know how we fight powers like this.
You think I know how to fix this, dude, but I really don't.
Biggie, everyone can be worthy. Let's give it a chance. Now go fight for your family. Go fight for the world.
I just threw a truck at a dragon. I love my life.
Now, I don't know about you, but But remember, this character is a young kid, but then when he yells Shazam, that's when he turns into an adult version. Now, talk about the stress of performance anxiety. All these people that are out there in his world, all these other superheroes, he's like, oh man, how can I compete with those guys? I mean, he can really get into his head and think, man, what would I do, especially at that age, dealing with all these superpowers and maybe the world at your hands? That would just be a mind mess up. I don't know about you guys. Now, talking about that and more about the story, we're going to hear from the director, Swedish director, David F. Sandberg. Now, it's really funny. He's made these two really fun movies, family-friendly movies. But before this, he did two horror films, Lights Out and Annabelle Creation. So going from those kind of movies to this, it's really kind of fun. But in this interview, you're going to hear him talk about where he's at now and where he's going to go in the future. And immediately after that, we're going to hear from producer Peter Safran. And he's going to talk also about where he is at now. And just now, it's primarily what these movies are really about is family. And what do you do to keep them together?
Billy has finally found what he was looking for in the first movie. He's found a family. But now he's sort of terrified of losing that family. I think he's really struggling with keeping them all together because they all have different wants and different needs, and even family can't always be together.
Because it's a Shazam movie, it's going to have that great family dynamic. That's the core of any Shazam film, is family and the idea that family is about bond and not necessarily about blood. In the second film, we discover Billy's got his family now, but what is he willing to do to keep that family together?
Now, taking on this kind of role where you have to be both innocent and strong and play that duality of adult and child, but not be campy and still have it be an action adventure superhero movie. I can't think of very many people who could handle this, or they could handle it, but Zachary Levi just embodies this role perfectly. You look at him, everything he does, it's like the tone that they've created for this movie, this whole series. He is Shazam, and it's just so perfect. You're like, wow, this guy just has nailed this character. And speaking of Zachary, we're going to hear from the director and Lucy Liu and then Rachel Ziegler. They all have just great insight into Zachary, and it's like he just seems like a ball of joy because everywhere he goes, like we see interviews with him, whatever, he's always just seems like such a naturally fun guy. So here's first the director, Lucy Liu, then Rachel Ziegler.
Zach is still just a big kid at heart, which is why he's so perfect for Shazam, because he is Shazam pretty much. And he brings that energy to set every day as well. He's always hanging with everyone and like trying to keep everyone's spirits up.
Well, Zach is somebody who comes with his own beat, literally. You know he's coming because you can hear his music. And wherever he goes, he has this, you know, this incredible soundtrack with him. And everyone gets to enjoy that. He's somebody that loves to connect. He's very social. He had several gatherings with the crew and the cast to, you know, he's just a person that likes to bond. And he's very effervescent and full of life.
I'd only heard great things about this group of people. So, you know, I was just kind of nervous to infiltrate a homeostasis that had been established by Zach on the first one. But it was such a welcoming environment immediately. And the second I landed in Atlanta, I got a text from Zachary Levi that was like, hey, we're hanging out. Come see us. Come hang. He's got a heart of gold. I look up to him immensely. I love him to death. And he just is the reason that this environment is as positive as it is.
Now, you might be asking yourself, where have I seen Zachary Levi before? Or where have I heard him? He's done a lot of voice work. When you look at his filmography, you're just like, oh my goodness, it just goes on and on. I mean, because the guy's so talented. But also, a lot of us got first introduced to him several years ago in a TV show called Chuck. And then from there, he's just gone on and on and on. And then recently, he was also on the TV show The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. And again, that is a great show. If you've never watched that one, check it out. And he's outstanding in it. He's not in a whole bunch of them, but when he's on it, you know it, and he's there. And I could go on and on. He's just had a great career. Now, coming up next, we're going to hear from him, and he's going to be talking about what we always think we could have been or what we'd want to be.
And he talks about that, about the character. And we've all had that of what I could have been, should have been, or what I'd want to be. And immediately after that, we're going to hear from the director addressing that same kind of issue, and also about the feeling inadequate, not up to the task, and how much pressure that could, you know, put on somebody. And then right after that, speaking of all that stress and inadequacies, we're going to have a clip. And in this clip, Shazam, he's laying on a psychiatrist's bed, a couch, and he's talking to the doctor going, man, all these other people, all these big shots. And he's just trying to get in his own headspace and talk about, man, I really need to get my stuff together because there's a lot of people counting on me.
I think at the heart of it is just, it's that wish fulfillment. In everyone's life, at some point, we had dreams of becoming something like a superhero, whatever that is, some magical other than us that is stronger or faster or braver. Between David's direction, Henry's script, the incredible cast and crew that we had on the first and now on the second one, we're able to, you know, kind of come together to coalesce and create something that is all that wish fulfillment, but it's really entertaining and it's got tons of heart and humor and charm and inclusivity and representation. And, you know, it's the whole deal.
Billy is really struggling with finding his place in the superhero universe because he's not really sure what he's bringing to the table. He feels he has like imposter syndrome. Like, did he really deserve these powers? Wasn't there someone better? Is he really the best one to face off against gods coming for him? But so he needs to, you know, realize what it is that makes him the unique superhero that he is.
I don't deserve these powers, if I'm being honest. Like, what am I even contributing? There's already a superhero with a red suit with a lightning bolt on it, and I'm fast, but he's faster. Aquaman is literally huge, and he's so manly, and Batman is so cool, and I'm just me. And I can't say this to anyone else because my family looks to me as a leader, but I feel like a fraud.
You understand I'm a pediatrician, right?
Now, with any superhero movie, you need the best villain you could possibly get. And when you think of that big major get, who would you like to have? Well, who wouldn't want Helen Mirren in their movie? So up next, we're going to hear from the director. He's going to talk about when they were all talking about this, who can we get? Who's our big get? And they're thinking, oh, well, let's shoot for the top first and go for Helen Mirren. And he's just like, oh my goodness. And she said, yes, working with the great Helen Mirren. Can you believe it? And immediately after that, we're going to hear from Zachary Levi. And he also addresses that having a legend on the set playing this role. And I think Zachary Levi, just, he sums it up for everybody. Everything he says about her, everybody feels. And just, you know, I'll just let that run. And then right after that, we're going to hear from Helen Mirren talking about taking this role and just about the movie in general. And remember earlier I talked about her sense of humor? At the very beginning of her interview, she just leans into it about her image. So this is really fun. Check it out.
For the villains in this movie, we felt like, you know, a superhero movie is only really as good as their villains. And we have some of the best ones. We want to see, like, what's the best we can get? And our goal was, like, if we can get someone like Helen Mirren. And to our surprise, she said yes right away, which was, like, a dream come true to be able to work with Dame Helen Mirren.
Oh, Helen's dope, man. I mean, she's literally exactly what you want her. What, you know, we all, I don't know what everybody wants her to be or thinks she ought to be or thinks who she is or whatever, but that dope, awesome, cool, chill, grounded, giving, generous, fun, intelligent, talented, beautiful, ageless woman that you kind of see in movies and you go, I feel like, is that really her in real life? That's her in real life.
I play a character called Hespera, who is a goddess, of course. You know, I only ever really play goddesses and queens, you understand. I turn any other role down because, you know, it's not up to my quality. that's absolutely not true, incidentally. But yes, she is a goddess. She's a Roman goddess. who comes back to this earth to try and reclaim the world of magic and power that the gods and goddesses of ancient days used to have.
I mean, come on, everybody. What would you give to talk to Helen Mirren, sit down in a room with her, and have a conversation? All of her skills, all of her movies, everything she's been in, I would just sit back and say, I don't even have to say a word. Just talk to me about your career. I mean, my goodness, people. Anyway, I digress. But now, speaking of her character, why is she so furious? What's her jam? And we talked earlier about this briefly, about what was taken from her and her family. And up first, we're going to hear from the producer, Peter Safran, and he's going to talk about that, where and why they feel the way they do. Immediately after him, we're going to hear from Zachary Levi, also discussing that these characters aren't just out there just for sheer, you know, evil purposes. They actually have a purpose. And then we're going to hear from, again, the great Helen Mirren, talking about why she's doing what she's doing and try to come to an understanding of where everybody else is coming from and try to, you know, figure all that out, where her character goes. Producer Zachary Mirren, up next.
So this film takes place a couple years after the first film. So our characters have learned how to use their powers, but they certainly haven't perfected it. In this particular case, in this film, they discover that it turns out the wizard and his family had stolen these powers from Atlas. And now the daughters of Atlas, in the form of Helen Mirren, Lucy Liu, and Rachel Zegler, are coming to find the Shazam family to take these powers back.
We give the goddesses, we give them incredible backstory, incredible motivation. It's not just some willy-nilly like, we're bad guys and we're going to do a bad guy thing. But they're not even necessarily evil. I mean, you know what I mean? Like they're complicated. And they got totally hosed by our predecessors way back when, you know. So I get it. They're a little upset.
She has major father issues, Hespera. But the power, incredible power and authority that her father wielded has somehow, through the actions of the wizards, been taken away from her father and landed in the body of this child. She's trying to get the power back from him. And it's only when she fully understands that he actually does have the heart of a real champion. She starts off as maybe she's the enemy, but you realize that actually her moral compass is strong. It's good.
Now we have a clip for you coming up next. Now in this clip, Shazam is sitting right across from Helen Mirren's character, and he's trying to give her a little, you know, tough talk. Like, I've seen all the Fast and Furious movies, so I know what's going on. And she just kind of sitting there calmly looking at him. He's just talking to her, trying to be all tough and say, oh, I got my people.
Okay, look, I might not have as much experience as you because I'm not like super old like you. But I think I have a few experiences that you don't have because I've seen all of the Fast and the Furious movies, lady. And let me tell you something. It's all about
family.
Guys, that was a signal. We practiced this like 12 times. Thank you.
Forgot all about my family, didn't you, goddess?
Now, as we said earlier, Helen Mirren is not the only villain in this movie. It also has another legend, Lucy Liu. I could go on hours talking about her great career, but just in a nutshell, look at these couple movies she's already been in. The Kill Bill series, Charlie's Angels, in the TV show Elementary. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. This woman is so talented and just brings so much energy to every role she takes on. And the director talks about that in some of her movies, she can be so intense and just all in. But then in real life, she's just this kind, kind person. And it's just fun to hear somebody talk about that. And after the director talks about Lucy, we're going to have Lucy Liu talking and just talking about the story a little bit. And then we're going to have a scene. Now, in this scene, we have Lucy Liu and Helen Mirren. They're standing outside this jail cell, and there's a guy, you know, sitting in there, obviously, and they're trying to, like, tell him, look what you've done to us, the powers that you took. They're trying to make him confess or, you know, say the word Shazam So while he's in the prison there, then she uses her powers to kind of shoom, bam, brings him right up to the bars and starts, you know, doing their thing. So the director, Lucy Liu, and then Clip.
With Lucy, she's kind of the main villain in the movie, and she's really intimidating. And that's what she does so well, like in so many movies she's been in. It's funny that she can be so menacing on screen because she's just lovely off screen. Like she was one of the most pleasant people I've ever worked with.
I think Calypso is somebody who has a very strong hold on people when she does her magic trick. And I think she's also very devoted, and she is part of a legacy. I mean, she's one of the daughters of Atlas, and her mission along with her sisters is to avenge her father and bring back to her world the life that it lost when this staff was taken. And so for her, the commitment for her to finish that mission is very important to her. It's vital. And I do think that she takes it one level too far.
Magic. Impossible. This realm was sealed up from magic.
Yes. After you ripped it from our father's very core. From every god in this realm. From me. Do you not remember what you took? What my particular power was? The power of elements. It was your hands that forged this staff for our father, and yours that will mend it.
I told you. I would die before I help you.
Now, say the word.
Never! Never!
Never say never. Say the word.
Now, if you watch any of these movies, or any other superhero movies, they always sprinkle in some kind of mythology of some sort. And in this one, they really lean into Greek mythology. So up next, we're going to hear from the director, Zachary Levi, Helen Mirren, and Lucy Liu.
We were going back and forth on who the villains would be in this movie. Ultimately, we landed on mythological, like, Greek gods who are not from the comic books, but it felt like that would be not just an appropriate level threat to be something for the family to fight against, but something that made sense in that Shazam's power come from things like Greek gods.
Greek mythology is throughout, you know, a lot of DC DNA. So I thought it was a great idea, because I've got so much Greek god and demigod and Titan blood literally in me as Shazam. So it would only make sense that this is a world we play in at some point. I think that they did a great job of mining real, you know, fable, and then being able to curate it shape it to fit into our world and universe and tone, whilst not declawing it.
It's true. In this film, we have it all, maybe. And I love that. It's a combination, obviously, of the real mythology of Greek mythology, but bound in with all of those mythological ideas and imaginary creatures. And they all make an appearance in our movie. So it's a sort of combination of all the mystical, magical movies you've ever seen.
I think what I love about Shazam Fury of the Gods is that you are bringing in the superhero world and you're also bringing in Greek mythology. Two outstanding and very entertaining and historic things that exist in the world. And having those two worlds collide and seeing how those characters interact with each other, I think that's exciting. You can definitely find that in the movie, that there is a bigger consequence for every action. And I think that that is something that audiences will want to tune into and to experience. It's not just the costumes, not just the production value, but all of those things combined to create this this world.
Now, in these next couple interviews, I just eat this one up. We're going to hear from Helen Mirren, Lucy Liu, and Rachel Zegler. And they just talk about the friendship, the kinship, the sisterhood that they had on this movie. And think about that. How many times do you have any kind of movie where the three villains are women? And it was just everybody in this movie, they just all just created this bond, you know, and it's so fun hearing these women talk about that, because it must be so fun to finally say, hey, look at this. We're the bad guys and we're going to hang out together. And I just hearing Rachel Zegler too, talking about how much she's enjoyed this, and you just hear it in her voice. And same thing with Lucy Liu. She's like, wow, I got to go out and celebrate Helen Mirren's birthday. And so when we first hear from Helen at the beginning, she also shares that same joy. And you would think somebody maybe on that level, you know, would be like, nah, you know, it's just another gig. But, you know, every time you hear interviews from her, you're just thinking, well, man, she's just like us, man. She likes hanging out with her friends and her coworkers. And that's the kind of the energy I feel from these interviews. So you're first going to hear from Helen, Lucy Liu, and then Zegler.
I have two other sisters played by Lucy Liu and Rachel Zegler. And what's wonderful about this shoot is to spend time with other women. You know, all of my scenes are with other women. So it's been really, really good fun. We've made a sort of a little, we've bonded together and made a little team together.
Hearing that Helen Mirren was going to be one of my sisters was incredibly exciting. And of course, she is all of the things you think she's going to be and more. And having worked with Rachel, who was also my sister in the movie, we became very, very close. And as if we were sisters, we spent a lot of time together. And we were able to go shopping and celebrate Helen's birthday while we were there. It was fantastic. I mean, it was one of the highlights of my career.
I mean, this whole cast is so tight-knit, and it's unlike anything I've ever seen before, where we just look after each other and we hang out on the weekends and we talk to each other when we're not at work. And it's such a beautiful relationship, and it's a beautiful environment that's fostered here at Shazam 2. I pinch myself daily. Helen, Lucy, and I have a group chat. And we go shopping, and we took Helen out for her birthday. And the fact that that's my life is pretty crazy. I was absolutely gobsmacked at those casting announcements. And I was like, oh, God, knowing that they were going to play my sisters was crazy. But they have been nothing short of wonderful and given the greatest advice. Being a young woman in this industry is really scary, and having two amazing established women who have done incredible things with their careers offering to give me advice on things that I don't know if I'd be even comfortable asking anyone else. It's been such an incredible journey with them. And the three of us are having the time of our lives. Like, who can say you come to work and put on this armor and fight a dragon? It's really, really cool. And I don't think that fact is lost on any of us, which is really beautiful. Anthea is the youngest of three sisters, her older sister, Hespera, played by Helen Mirren, and Calypso, played by Lucy Liu. She's definitely the one with a golden heart. She's 6,000 years old, so she hasn't learned much about the world yet. And I think when it comes to the three of us being villains, Anthea is the most hesitant about villainous activity, and definitely finds herself leaning more towards heroic deeds.
Now, just as you heard in that interview, Zegler was talking about her character Anthea and how she's having a little bit of struggles or having other ideas what to do with her powers. So we're going to hear from the director, and he's going to talk about that, talk about how that character starts seeing humans a little differently because she starts associating with humans more, and she starts thinking, huh, maybe they're not all bad. So she talks about that a little bit, and she gets into the complexities that these villains have. It's not just simple this way or the other. And then we're going to hear from Lucy Liu, and she also, you know, talks about that, about this, every sister has a different ability. And then after a while, there's a little power shift as things start to move on. They start thinking for themselves. And then, okay, after this, after those interviews, I have a scene for you. But I have a slight struggle with this one all the time, because in this scene, there is really no dialogue. There's a lot of music and you hear background stuff. Because in this scene, Lucy Liu and Helen Mirren's character are in a museum. And they're standing by these staffs or these, you know, weapons of sorts. Helen Mirren grabs a staff, and then you hear her take a deep breath, and you see like electricity flow over her. Then Lucy Liu character, she grabs something else, and then she does the same kind of thing. She lets, you know, like, okay, I have this power now. And then the security guards come after him, and she like whispers something in one guy's ear, and then there's bedlam happening all over the place. And then another security guard comes up to Helen Mirren's character, and then she like throws him in the air. So if this doesn't work, I kind of apologize, but scenes are scenes. It's your call. See if it's worth it or not. But that's what happens in this next set of stuff.
And Thea is very torn, because on the one hand, she's with her sisters. She's on their side in that they have this plan to come to Earth and get their powers back to restore their realm. But she finds that Freddy is actually a really good guy and humans are perhaps not so bad. So she's really torn between these two sides because, yeah, humans stole their powers and ruined their home. But it doesn't seem like all humans are bad. So what is she to do? Like, who's right and who's wrong?
You first meet Anne in high school, and she bumps into Freddy in the hallway, and they have this adorable meet cute, as people say. And she kind of wants to know a bit about the human world, and she instantly has this connection with Freddy, and they hang out a lot, and they hang out on this rooftop, and that's when she realizes that Freddy is exactly who her sisters have been looking for, and she realizes that Freddy also has superpowers, and all of that comes crashing down in this pivotal scene. It's very exciting. It captured that same essence of heart and childlike wonder that the first one displays so beautifully, while also adding this new touch with Helen and Lucy and myself and our characters, and showing the complexity of being a villain. And I think the first one does that really well too, but the complexity of the villains in this one is so real, and the way that the three sisters are so different, and it brings this whole new element to this script, and I loved it instantly.
I think the sisters have different specialties, and they have unique qualities that they bring to their family. And that's the wonderful thing. And I do think that what happens as the movie progresses is that, you know, they take different sides. And when that happens, the power shifts. Which it normally does in any sibling rivalry. And I think that's a natural occurrence, which people can relate to. Unfortunately, when you have magical powers, it can get a little bit more dicey.
Oh.
Like I said, you have to let me know if I should keep doing that or not, because throughout this show, there's oftentimes when there's a scene with no dialogue. It might not play well, just listening to it like that. I don't know. But I always feel the more the merrier. So I just throw it out there because it doesn't really work as audio, but maybe it does. Because later on, at the end of the show, you could watch this. You could see that whole scene in these interviews, because I also make the TV version of this. And then you could just see these clips. So at the end of the show, I'll show you that, or I'll give you that address so you could, in case you want to watch this show with the interviews and stuff, et cetera, et cetera. Now, my next interview, we're going to hear from Ziegler, and she's going to talk about how everybody has their own power. And she talks about hers, how she could kind of manipulate objects around her and move stuff around. And she talks about how she could, like in a scene where Shazam is flying through the air, they're on top of this tall building, and Helen Mirren's character says, you know, clip his wings. So he's flying through the air, and you just see him go in and out of buildings or all around him. And then they cut this camera thing where they kind of zoom up to him. And then at that moment, that's when, boom, the buildings, you know, smack against him and smush him, if you will. And then they cut back to the top of the building. And Helen Mirren's character saying, she looks up, she hears something at distance, and all the other friends are flying through the air towards them. And that's that scene. So anyway, here that is.
There are unicorns in our movie. There's the dragon, Layden, who I like to say was my childhood pet who turned against me. I have the power of Axis, which means I put my hands up and they light up, and then the world shifts around me and I act as the Earth's axis, and everything is built around me, shifts around me. At one point, I shift a building to hit Zachary Levi, and that's really fun. And yeah, so, you know, our powers are also this like mythical thing that I think a lot of people will enjoy watching on screen.
Clip his wings, Anthea.
As you heard, this movie is just action, creatures, everything's all over the place. And speaking about that, we're going to hear from Ziegler, just talking about this movie just has everything you could possibly want, from, you know, unicorns, dragons, you name it, it's happening. So we're going to hear from her talking about that. And then right after her, we're going to hear from Peter Safran, the producer, also kind of touching on that kind of stuff, that this movie has family, adventure, and all that good stuff. And then immediately after that, we're going to hear from the director talking about working with Peter Safran. I think he said for the third time now.
Fury of the Gods has unicorns. It has the power of Axis. It has Helen Mirren. It has a lot of rooftops. It has Cooper Andrews stunt driving in a van. This place has everything. honestly, it also has a lot of messages about family and how important your family and friends are. And this movie has just as much heart as the first one, if not more. So if you've never seen a Shazam movie, get ready for a whole lot of love and a whole lot of Helen Mirren kicking ass. And I think that's the best way to put it.
Shazam Fury of the Gods is definitely connected to the first movie, tonally. It is a great family film. It's got all the humor that the first one had, but it takes the excitement and the action and takes it to a whole new level. We bring in new villains. We bring in new monsters. We bring in new threats. So it is everything you loved in the first movie, but it's just jacked up on steroids.
This is my third movie now with Peter Safran, who's an amazing producing partner. And like, he's very, I mean, he's the type of producer who is actually on set the whole time. So he has all this experience and expertise in how movies are made and how to solve all the problems that inevitably comes up along the way. So he's a great collaborator and a great partner.
Now, you just heard the director talking about Peter Safran, the producer. We're going to hear next from Lucy Liu. And what she talks about is very interesting. producers are rarely on the set all the time, because usually not all the time, people, but often producers are off-site and are dealing with other things, and they're just kind of like, you know, telephoning in and saying, hey, what's going on? But not this guy. He's actually on the set, hands-on, and it's just really cool to hear her talk about that, how that really improves the whole atmosphere.
I have to say that working with Peter Safran was one of the highlights as well. This is a producer that has a lot of things going on, but he was actively involved and there every day on the set. And I don't know that you find that to be the case in all the movies that are being shot. And I think that the quality of balance and of basically sanity that he brought to everything in, you know, given the environment that we were filming in, really brought a great sense of protection and, you know, loyalty.
Now, when you do a second film, based on how successful the first one is, sometimes you get a really better budget and then you can go bigger and just mad crazy. And that's kind of like what happened with this, because Shazam was a great success. That first one really hit it out of the park. So on the second one, I think they got a bigger budget, and that's what the director talks about next. He talks about they're able to go bigger and just all in. And then immediately after that, we're going to hear from both Lucy Liu and Helen Mirren talking about working with him. He's not like an overbearing director or in your face. He might not even say a lot, but he's just a really quality director.
That was one of the most exciting aspects of Shazam Fury of the Gods, to get to go bigger, to have bigger stakes, to have bigger action. But while still keeping that sort of intimate family feel of the first movie, it's still the same characters and they still have that same dynamic. We just sort of expand everything that's happening around them and just having a much bigger threat for them to deal with.
David is a very dynamic director who has so much imagination and patience, let me just say. He's a man of few words, but when he says something, everyone is going to listen. He's so lovely and he works so hard, and he really is somebody who you can trust immediately. He's not somebody who's going to beat around the bush. He knows exactly what he likes and what he wants. And I like that about a person, you know, like they're a straight shooter.
He's very quiet and he's the opposite of a noisy director, you know, striding around saying, you know, do this, do that. To be able to kind of keep the thrust of the story and the characters within this very complex technical world is a real achievement. But he's very, just in his own very quiet way, just absolutely knows what you need, where you need it, if you know what I mean.
Up next, we're going to have some interviews talking about what the people who made this film, what they hope you get out of it, what you feel like when you walk out of the theater. So we're first going to hear from Peter Safran, the producer, Zachary Levi, Helen Mirren, Zachary again, and then back to the director. It's just really cool to get inside of their heads of seeing what they hope we get out of this film.
Shazam is an extraordinary family movie that explores the idea that family is about bond and not about blood. It's got all the humor of the Gremlins and Ghostbusters and Goonies films, but it's also got the giant action that you expect and need from a big superhero movie today. It's got the heart and the comedy, and it's got the incredible action and characters.
I hope that people feel inspired by it and they feel that love, you know, because if nothing else, that's what I hope we're doing. That was one of the greatest things about the first movie, was hearing people walk out of the theater and they just felt better about life. They just felt lighter. They felt happier. There's so much that is wrong with this world right now. And we have opportunities as artists and as creators and as entertainers to help like lift that burden just a little bit, man, just a little bit.
They'll get Zach as Shazam, and that is an incredible pleasure. And then they'll get Jack Grazer as in his character as Freddy. The film is really about Freddy, and we have just such a brilliant, inventive, funny, and very endearing actor in Jack playing that role. I hope that they'll get, a funny but very heartfelt film with incredible visuals just to enjoy.
We've maintained all of that good, and we're just giving people a little bit more in these different areas and allowing the characters to continue to grow and change and evolve, and with these great, new guest actors that are completing our story, and they're so fantastic. So I think all of the people who have already seen and hopefully who have already fallen in love with the first movie, this is right up, right in line with why you, I think, hopefully enjoyed the first one. And to all the people who haven't seen the first one, go see the first one and then watch this. And then you'll know what I'm talking about.
I think audiences will be very excited about this movie because not only do we have these massive set pieces and action and like just awesome sets and fights in the movie, but at the core of it, you have very unique characters and you have real emotions. And it's, when you really care about the characters in a movie and you're invested in it, it just becomes such a stronger emotional impact.
Now, like I mentioned earlier, if you want to watch the TV version of this so you can see the clips, interviews, and everything in between, either one, go to the City of Bloomington, Minnesota's cable access channel and watch it there. Just type in Cinema Judge, or go to bit.ly/CinemaJudge. And when you get there, several shows should show up. You can watch 24 hours a day on demand whenever you want. Now, I hope you enjoyed our in-depth look at Shazam! Fury of the Gods. Now, if you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, any way to improve the show, let me know. CinemaJudge@Hotmail.com. Or you can go to Instagram. When I'm there, I'm The Cinema Judge. You can go to YouTube or any other platform that are out there. Shoot me a line. Let me know what I'm doing right or wrong, because I can't grow if I don't know. But now, it's one of my favorite parts of the show. This is when I thank you, the listeners, for taking time out of your busy life to listen to this show. So for everybody all around the world, I hope my voice finds you well. And I love hearing about how you listen to the show, whether it's sitting at home, driving your car, or even at night before you go to bed, you put it on play and just let it ride all night long. It's like having a nightlight for your ears. You get to hear about a movie all night long. Or some of you might even be listening 2 weeks from now, 2 months from now, 2 years from now. All I have to say is, wherever, whenever, or whatever you're doing, this is for you. To all my listeners from the United States, Australia, Singapore, Germany, United Kingdom, Spain, Poland, Uzbekistan. Unbelievable. So many listens. If you're sharing the show, I really appreciate that. You're awesome. Minneapolis, Minnesota, Cincinnati, Ohio, Baldwin, New York, Sydney, South Wales, Liverpool, South St. Paul, Melbourne, Victoria, Atlanta, Georgia, Madrid, Morrisville, Pennsylvania, Georgetown, Texas, Eden Prairie, Minnesota, La Quinta, California, Valencia, California, South Hadley, Mass., Cottage Grove, Minnesota, Bay City, Michigan, Vargas, Minnesota, Atwood, Tennessee, Munich, Bavaria, Frankfurt AM, Maine, Hesse, and man, these two right here, oh man, KCYNIA, and then KUJAWSKO. Wherever that is, thank you so much. And then another one is TASHKENT. I couldn't get that if I tried, but don't think for 1 second I don't appreciate this. And I mean this, every one of you, if you think you just play it and listen, I don't care. Oh, I care. I might see it and I go, yes. I always do a happy dance. It's not a pretty dance, but I do a happy dance nonetheless. So I honestly thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking time to listen to any movie, whether it's a blockbuster or independent film. There's a handful of you out there who listen to whatever episode there is, and that's what the show is all about. Not just about the blockbusters, about any movie. Because like I say all the time, any movie is somebody's favorite movie. But now, it's the Bourbon Shoutout. This week, I want to personally thank Stephen Kylo and Chris Renosa. I think that's your name. I apologize about that, Chris. I apologize. But yes, to Stephen Kylo and Chris at T-Mobile off of Penn Avenue, you guys went above and beyond. I had incredible issues. I couldn't figure out what I was doing, but you went out of your way. You worked so hard on that. So thank you, thank you, thank you for your hard work. It was amazing. And to you, Stephen, a fellow movie lover, I appreciate it. And I can't wait to, you know, talk more movies with you sometime later. So to you too, cheers. But now it's the music section. Because as you well know, this is always first a TV show that I turn into this podcast. And when I'm doing a TV version of this, I can be cranking tunes in the background because I don't have to be talking or anything. Because the TV version is just the stuff, just the videos, just the interviews. You don't see or hear me at all. So all I get to do is just jam. And on this one, I had so much stuff on it. I was really struggling back and forth. It took me, and I knew it was going to take me a long time because I had so much stuff to pour through. And if you were listening to the show regularly, you know I'm the king of sap. I just love those mellow tunes from the 70s sometimes. So I go, well, you know what? I need to focus. I need to not be too distracted by the music that's playing. Because if I'm really too much into it, I start jamming and doing, you know, I lose all track of time. And I'm like, oh man, it's getting late. I got to finish the show. So I'm like, I try to think ahead. So judge me all you want, people, but I don't matter. It's just whatever makes the good show. So what I did was, I first started off with ABBA Gold. I mean, come on, what more do you need? That is just the stellar greatest hits. Every song in there, top notch. And after that, I went to their latest album, actually, the one that came out like last year or right around this time. It's called Voyage. Great album. I mean, they don't skip a beat. It's just like they were back in the day. You're like, yep, seamless. So I just went from, boom, Gold to Voyage. And then I went to the 35th anniversary of Carpenter's Gold album. And then I moved on to another 70s mellow band, if you will, Dan Fogelberg. Stellar tunes, again. Judge all you want, ladies and gentlemen. But put that bad boy on. And if you just don't go to, you know, just Relaxville, then I don't know what. But I did Dan Fogelberg, and I added a few more of his too that weren't on the greatest hits because there's several others like, oh yeah, I forgot about that song, But then I knew, like, oh, you know, I needed a little bit more pick-me-up. So then I moved on from them to Quiet Riot. And man, that just brought back so many memories. They had just so many radio hits back in the day. So I have my own little catalog or folder filled out for them. So I threw that on. And one of my personal favorites, maybe a lot of you don't know what this one is, because everybody's familiar with Come On, Feel the Noise and Bang Your Head, all that, you know, that stuff, which are great tunes. One that, if you haven't listened to it before, look up Thunderbird. There's so much emotion in that song, because that song Thunderbird was written by the band after Randy Rhoads left to play with Ozzy Osbourne. And they were in the middle of recording it, you know, back and forth doing stuff, and then he died. So then they went back to rework it. So when you listen to the lyrics on that song, Thunderbird, it just hits home. You might be thinking, what? Trust me on this one. Listen to Thunderbird in the context of a good friend leaving your band and then eventually dying. So it just adds a lot more to it. Just to get a little background on that song. And I still wasn't done with the show yet. So I threw on Planet P Project because Why Me is such a great tune. And I just had to play that over and over a few times. And then because Tony Carey was singing for them, I also threw on A Fine, Fine Day. If you haven't listened to that in a long time, give that a shot. It's just a cool story. It's called A Fine, Fine Day by Tony Carey. Love it. Well, that is it. My glass awaits. So cheers to you and to the movies. So until next time, be well, be good, and I'm gone. I'm Jeff. Thanks for listening to The Cinema Judge.